time.
Oh no, I'm so sorry!
Buggy, look! Buggy, come here. Oh. Tricked!
Dummy.
Feels tricked.
Welcome to Brew News Pod, all the news that fit to be brewed. I'm Travis Matherly.
And I'm Andrew Jennings.
And this week, we're doing our tasting.
Ooh, yay.
Of tasting. High Wire.
Yeah. We gotta do shorter tastings, man, because we keep making this a two-piece.
Well, you keep adding beers.
We did seven. This is a past tense, future tense situation. Mm-hmm. But I had three more that we didn't do. I didn't even chill one of them down.
Well, that's because we're too excited about the breweries that we're doing lately.
I know.
And we're doing some local ones so we can get everything.
All the things.
Yeah. And every time we go to record an episode, it's like, I just saw they drop more and I want to do this one. Yep. So as was the case with Burial, this is a two-parter. So last week you heard our history of High Wire Brewing, and now we are going to get into the tasting portion of the show.
All right. Let's get drinking. Our first beer this evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, every time is relevant.
It's tonight. Time is irrelevant.
Time means nothing. Still quar. All right.
Depends on if your definition of time is circular or linear.
I like to believe it's more of
a wave.
It's more like a general mishmash.
I think it's the
Timey-wimey ball.
Oh, I like to think of it as in the Avengers when Hulk was talking to Tilda Swinton, who was the
The elder.
Yeah, or whatever her name was. And he's like, here's timelines. Here they are. But here's where you take this back.
Essentially, it's like a family tree. But
yep.
All right. So we are drinking the first off, we're going to start with one of the...
Firstly, what's the first beer that we're going to have this evening is the first one that we're going to drink.
You would think I've already started. So the first beer we're doing is the Session Sour Series Blackberry Limeade. So this is their Blackberry Limeade. Their seasonal for this is October through December. Weird. But they do have rotating seasonals throughout the year, and this one is the Blackberry Limeade version. I got this back in December, actually.
So 4 months ago?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah. Now, according to this, their Session Sour Series beers are brewed for our love of fun and drinkable beers that are best enjoyed while hanging with friends and family. These incredibly crushable, cocktail-inspired fruited sour beers are crafted with some of our favorite seasonal ingredients, creating some seriously spritzy and refreshing brews. This is a 4.2% sour. We're expecting no IBUs. No discernible bitterness.
It definitely smells like blackberry jam.
Yeah, I get the blackberry. Not a lot of lime, but get the blackberry.
Not a ton of lime. I don't, and what I'm happy to not smell is buttered popcorn.
Yeah, and this is a...
There might be the faintest whiff of it for me, but...
Yeah, it's very... It's like if you're searching for it, you might be able to pull it out, but if you're not looking for it,
it's like barely recognizable there in the background. And there and again, I think I've established at this point that I'm super sensitive to it.
Yeah, so. And I don't get it. So there, the head bubbled up and then went away. This looks a little bit like a off-colored seltzer.
Yeah,
it's bubbly, it's fruity.
It looks like pink lemonade, almost like a little lighter than pink lemonade.
Yeah,
it's not as opaque as pink lemonade.
And I like to. This is not sour. It's not like puckery sour. Mm, no. It is more like that limeade sour. You would expect.
No, this would be good if they did it at the brewery as a slushy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, let's talk about their other ones they have. So their January through March is the Lemon Drop with Lemon, Ginger, and Rosemary.
Which should have just come out, and that sounds delightful.
That was January through March, so we're actually out of that season now. And it for April through September is their Pink Lemonade with Raspberry Lemon Peel. That sounds like a perfect hot summer day.
I mean, honestly, all of them are perfect hot summer day.
This has been one of my favorite. I think this is my last can of this.
I've already done my taster.
I know.
But it is delicious. And those are the kind of sours that I'm more into. Like, especially like you said, like when it's hot, middle of summer, like a can of that, it's a little bit fruit juice in a way, a little bit sour beer.
It's more like Outrevace, less like an over sour kettle beer. Kettle sour.
It reminds me like a good version of... what I kind of use as my standard for goes is like Anderson Valley.
Yeah.
Their stuff. But that was very tasty. I wish it could have had a little more lime in it. Mm-hmm. I would have liked a little more of the lime, but...
And there may have been more at some point in time.
You mean 4 months ago?
I don't need your sass, sir. All right. So, Trav, take us to the next beer.
This is the High Wire Loves AVL. Well, they should because it's where they're from. Mm-hmm. This is a collab with Catawba Brewing, who is right around, throw a rock twice, maybe.
Literally down a few blocks down from the Big Top.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Catawba Brewing, for those of you who are not from North Carolina, but may see somewhere, we've done them before. We had Hop Nest Monster on.
And we did the White Zombie for our Halloween specials.
Yep, for the Halloween specials. And I think White Zombie is probably their most famous, Catawba's most famous brew. Yeah. But this is High Wire Loves ABL collab with Catawba Brewing. It's a corn lager brewed with chili peppers and lime, which sounds amazing to me as I love chili beers.
I had nowhere, I didn't know where to put this beer. I was like, I'll just put it right after the sour and we'll go into the ales immediately after.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad, I mean, it's lime and lime. It's 5.5% ABV, no available IBUs as far as Andrew wrote.
I couldn't find anything. So there's nothing on their website with this beer and all of it was on the can.
Hmm. All right.
And
let's see. It is...
It's a little odd color.
It is. It's like kind of really...
More orange.
It's like an orangish golden yellow.
Yeah. It's unhealthy urine. Extremely unhealthy urine.
Yeah.
It's clear though. Crystal clear. It is clear.
Crystal clear. Got a nice thin layer of head with really tight bubbles. Carbonation still coming up in the glass, which is nice.
It smells like a lager.
It does. I don't really smell chilies on it. Let me swirl it.
I definitely get the corn lager.
Yeah, I get the like that implied sweetness that you get from corn when you brew with it, which I mean, it's
for those of you that don't know what the corn lager smells like, crack open a macro and you'll figure it out real quick.
Yeah.
a full fat macro, you'll be right there.
There is that little bit of corn. I don't get chili peppers and maybe just the faintest bit of lime.
I'm getting a touch of chili.
You can take a sip. It's got a little bit of that. I want to say when you drink corn lagers and stuff and how you equated it to macros, there is like this little bit of like syrupy, like in a sense, like coat the inside of your mouth feel from it.
So I'm already picking up on this one. A couple sips in. This is a builder. You're not going to get the chili on the first sip. You may start getting it on the second, but the more you drink of this beer, the more that chili is going to sit on your back of your palate, which is actually good to wash out the sour. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can kind of, just a little bit, I've had a couple of sips and kind of feel like the faintest like tingle of like a chili beer.
What did you use to run those margaritas with? What's that called? The spice.
Oh, tajin?
Tajin. This with a tajin rim?
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be really good with that actually. Yeah, you're welcome. For the tajin. Actually, I still have all those packets paid for. I haven't put them on anything since.
Instead of buying a unless tajin shaker, she bought you tajin individual packs.
Yes. Unless I start making the boys a lotte.
Yeah.
It's good.
I don't get the lime at all.
I don't get the lime at all again. When was this canned? Was this back in December too?
No. This one was freshly bought. See, this was canned. Oh, this is canned actually in November. But it shouldn't be that old.
Okay. Well, I mean, for a lager, it should be holding up.
It should be fine. But it was also, all of our beers were either bought at the brewery. I think it was just the first one. And then the rest of them were bought at our local Total Wine. So honestly, I'm not sure how long some of these have been sitting around.
So High Wire Loves AVL is like an entire line. They have...
Was it their collab line or something like
well,
that?
Well, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There is a dry hop sour smoothie. That is a collab with Bramari. Mm, there is a Vienna style lager with coffee. That is with Dissolver. Nordic Farmhouse. Guess the brewery.
Nordic Farmhouse? I'm going to say... Oh, Burial?
No. Asheville Brewing Company. I was going to say Twin Leaf.
ABC?
Yeah, I was going to say Twin Leaf for that one. Mm. Traditional Stout, Zebulon. Then you have...
So these must just be all be...
Domestic Pale Ale, Flying Machine.
These are all North Carolina beers then.
Yeah, they're all North Carolina. That was the first one that wasn't...
No, Dissolver.
Zebulon.
Oh, Zebulon.
Dissolver's in Asheville.
Okay, I get them in someone that's in Charlotte confused.
Nope, here's one outside of... Oh, this is High Wire Loves ATL.
Oh.
There's one with a brewery called Pontoon Brewing in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Hmm. That is a peach colada sour smoothie.
So that's actually gets us to something that they do a lot. Is they do a lot of these series. So we've already had one of their series, their Sour Session. Their Sour Session series, which is all in...
Sour Session
series. Sure.
She sells.
You just got to get the lime in the back of your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is their High Wire Loves place.
Yeah. And so the IBUs on this one, according to their Untappd, is 25 IBUs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know we'll be drinking something later from their Carolina Grown series, their local lager series. So.
And you were right. They described the heat as subtle creeping heat.
Yeah.
So it's a builder. So nothing that should hit you up front. Like, God, back in the days when they made, what was that? Sculpin?
Oh, Habanero Sculpin?
Habanero Sculpin. And there was another one they made. It was like Wahoo, but it was Thai chilies.
Oh, that was weird. I got that at the brewery. That was a lot. Okay. Well, that brings us to our first in our IPA series.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Andrew, this is the third beer.
Yeah, but first in our IPAs. So we've got their Go-Getter Low-Cal IPA. This is 4%, 20 IBUs.
For all you calorie-conscious drinkers out there.
Yeah, only 100 calories and 4.5 carbs, baby. So this is a light and crisp Go-Getter IPA. Is low in calories, but doesn't lack for flavor. Tropical fruit, melon, and citrus notes from juicy American hops and a low bitterness create the perfect brew for those on the go.
Athlete in your life who still loves drinking beer.
So this is available year-round, and it has got 1.1 grams of protein and no fat. So their aroma,
that's a smell.
As I say, their aroma says bright citrus and fresh hops.
And tropical fruit and melon.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of tropical fruit. Ooh.
I think I'm getting a lot of melon off of it.
So their tasting notes brighten incredibly refreshing and dry with no lingering bitterness. And their objective making this was make the juiciest, most drinkable IPA possible for those on the go.
I mean, it's
crystal clear. Well, no. Yeah. It's got a little bit of a tint on it, but.
But it looks almost more like a cider?
Mm-hmm.
Like you would
get. It does not look like an IPA.
There's no head. Even when you swirl it, it doesn't. Like, it forms a quick head that very quickly dissipates.
I want you to drink that and tell me what you think.
It tastes like dried fruit. There's a little bit of an aspirin note almost for me, which I don't think should be there.
See, what I'm getting is I'm losing a lot of flavor, almost like a light beer.
Mm-hmm. And that, it fades away very quickly. Uh-huh. The smell
is a lot bigger than the flavor.
Yeah. The palate, the taste is not there with the nose. Which, to me, it's not as much tropical fruit, though. It's like a very, very watered down version of like the Going Coastal from Sweetwater that we've had. And that's the problem with, I think, a lot of these low calorie beers is it's hard to make it not taste like a watered down version of an IPA.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's
because at 4% it should be a session, right?
Which our next beer is, so.
But they don't call it a session.
Right, because it's even a session is probably going to be like 125, 150, even 200 calories. Because the session is just low alcohol. It has nothing to do with your caloric intake. Mm-hmm.
But I think that is the issue that you run into with a lot of these breweries is that it's hard to brew these light beers without sacrificing flavor or mouthfeel.
Yeah.
And it feels like a watered down version. Was there another? What was the one we had last year at the beach that was the low-cal with like the golf ball on it? Was that Cigar City?
I don't know.
Or was that Oscar Blues? You brought like that mix pack to the beach last year.
Oh, was it out of the Oscar Blues pack?
Was it Tea Time? Is that what it's called or something? It was like a 90 cal or 110 cal IPA.
I don't remember. It could. I mean, I drank a lot of beer at the beach.
Yeah, we all did, Andrew.
Hey, I don't need your sass, sir. All right.
Let's see. But yeah, that one, that was lacking for me a little bit.
Yeah, that's not one I'd go back to.
No, that was underwhelming, which doesn't happen often for me for High Wire.
No, but I mean, it makes sense though with the style, you know, essentially a low-cal IPA. It's sort of what I was expecting, to be honest.
So?
Not the best version of whatever they can make.
Which one's next?
The low pitch, which I wish they had never changed their can art on this one.
Okay. Then I need to change classes.
Yeah. Boop, you don't want to start with a high pitch.
No, no.
These two, I wish they had kept the same can art. Like these two in particular.
We're going to start on a low note. We're going to end on a high note.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to pull my phone. Okay. So our next beer tonight is one of their flagship beers. This is the Low Pitch Hazy IPA. This is a hazy IPA, 5.5% ABV, 45 IBUs. This easy drinking hazy IPA packs a bright citrus hop punch without all the bitterness. Juicy American hops and a light malt bill make Low Pitch the perfect pairing for sandy shores, mountaintops, or backyard hangs.
Yeah. Now, the old can art
was Andrew's favorite.
Oh my gosh. It was a golden dog, which actually looks like bugs. It used to look like Ellie, but it was like always like a dachshund thing.
Yeah.
And now that we have bugs, it's a dachshund playing a sousaphone. I loved Low Pitch can art. I bought Low Pitch the first time because of the can art.
Because it was playing to your two things?
It played to my things. A cute dog.
Little puppers and a sousaphone.
And a sousaphone. And I was like, this is my beer. Since then, I found better session hazy IPAs. But at the same time, I still like this beer.
And as we talked about, they underwent a massive rebranding. So that little pupper is no longer on the can for Andrew.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sad days. So according to the website, the aroma is bright citrus and fresh hops again. This is more in line with what I'd expect, like more of a sea hop centennial, probably.
Yeah, it's a very pale yellow.
And very
mine's
hazy.
Got some chill haze. I don't know if that's chill haze.
Well, it's supposed to be hazy.
But it's not as I mean, you can still see through it a little bit.
Yeah, their tasting notes say extra bright and incredibly refreshing, and dry with no lingering bitterness. Their objective: make the juiciest, most drinkable IPA possible with American hops.
Yeah, little pine, grapefruit. Some orange hiding back in there.
Yeah.
Now that.
I still like that beer.
It's a little more bitter than you would think for 45 IBUs, but not bad. It does have that like piney bitterness sitting in there, like that gets you in the jowls a little bit.
Yeah.
Overall, that is refreshing, easy drinking. If it was hot out, 5.5%, this isn't going to kill you. You can have a six pack of this and be fine.
Yeah, it's not gonna be bad on you.
No, it's not going to be the 100 calorie.
It's
go getter.
Honestly, I think it's better. It's obviously better for me. It's better, and
I mean, it's better if though, like in the fridge, I had just gotten done mowing and I was really thirsty. The go getter would be perfect for that scenario.
Yeah.
But it'd be like drinking water.
Yeah, it would be. Because it just finishes so clean. So this brings us to, I would argue, the most iconic beer. When I was doing the research and they said, our flagship beer is our lager. I was like, bullshit. Your flagship beer is the one with the hippopotamus screaming into a megaphone. And that's your high pitch.
It was a cannon.
No, it was screaming into a megaphone.
Wasn't it? No, it was screaming into a cannon. It was catching a cannonball out of a cannon.
High pitch Mosaic IPA. Let's find the old image of it.
It's a hippo with its mouth open. It's catching a cannonball out of a cannon.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Don't
no,
tell me.
No, I'm right.
You're right. It's a megaphone?
It's a megaphone.
What the heck was the cannon? There's one with a cannon on it.
Strongman? Cannonball?
No, I don't know. I could have sworn that hippo was catching a cannonball.
Let me see. Can art. Let me just look up there. See if I can get a... yeah, no, it's...
Oh, I always thought it was a cannon.
No. You made me second guess myself. You made me second and third guess myself. So it was a hippo screaming into a megaphone. And that's when I was doing this research, and they're like, oh yeah, we pride ourselves on our lagers and our sours. That's what we want to be known for as a brewery. And like, fascinating, because the beer I always associate with you is this high pitch.
I'll be darned.
There you go. So High Pitch is a Mosaic IPA. That's what they call it. Ironically, it's not just brewed with Mosaic. It is a 6.7% ABV, 55 IBU. It uses Mosaic and Centennial hops. So this is a balanced Western North Carolina IPA with bright citrus and tropical fruit aromas. Expect big grapefruit, tangerine, and subtle melon flavors from the chorus of Mosaic and Centennial hops to balance out the malt in this dank and drinkable beer. They say the color is bright orange. I'd say nailed it.
Yep.
This is West Coast. I can tell you that right off the bat. 6.7% ABV, 55 IBUs. Aroma, dank, piney, hops, bright citrus, grapefruit, tropical fruit, subtle melon, and stone fruit.
It is a little dank.
That Mosaic and Centennial, they go together like peanut butter and chocolate.
I thought you were going to say banana.
I mean, that too, but... I'm sure more people are familiar with the Reese's peanut butter cups than the peanut butter banana sandwich.
And they go together like banana and mayonnaise.
They go together like, no, No.
Yeah, I'm not a banana mayonnaise person. That's disgusting.
My dad would do that all the time. He's like, oh, Andrew, let's have a banana sandwich. I'm like, cool, banana peanut butter. And then he whips out the mayonnaise. I'm like, no. It's like, I understand Reese can't eat the peanut butter, but I'm going to put peanut butter in.
But he can't have my sandwich.
I'm Reese-proofing my food.
Oh, yeah. That's a West Coast. I mean, it smells delightful.
So I have Mosaic and some Centennial. I could make a variant on this.
Good. Now, it is, like, coming from the low pitch, it is amped up.
Oh my God,
in the bitterness.
I mean, it's going from, like, nothing, no perceived, to, like, 55 IBUs, which is not a huge...
No, I mean, it goes up 10 IBUs from 45 to 55.
But perceived bitterness is all there. So, the tasting notes say melon, bright citrus, and grapefruit with a soothing balance.
It is. It's more like a little bit cantaloupe, mm-hmm. a little bit of honeydew back in there. The tropical and the stone are kind of hiding. I could see how maybe you lean into like, not peach, apricot.
Is it the mango?
No, like apricot.
I do see a little bit of apricot. I see where you're going. Yeah, maybe like a tart nectarine or something, but apricot's definitely in there.
Yep.
But yeah, their overall notes are drinkable and hoppy, bright, dank, clean, and balanced.
That's just one that like you want to constantly like put your nose in.
Mm-hmm. I will say Mosaic does make beers smell better, I feel, if nothing else.
It does, especially when you don't get the cheesy Mosaic, which that had none of. No real cheese or chive.
And that comes from leaving the dry hop in too long.
Yes. And this you is, found that out?
No, I just not through experimentation because I don't dry hop that long. But yeah, like if you dry hop for more than 5 days, if you don't pull your dry hop out, you will get all the off notes. Mm. And honestly, I dry hop for 3.
I only exclusively wet hop.
That doesn't mean the same thing. It doesn't mean what you think it means.
But it sounded dirty.
Wet hop and dry hop are actually not... you can dry hop with wet hops.
But you can't wet a dry hop.
No, you can use wet hops for a dry hop. You
can't dry a wet hop.
You can dry... Yeah, if you dry out a wet hop, that's normal. That's actually something you're supposed to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Supposed to let them sit out in the sun.
A wet hop is just your standard fresh off the vine hop, undried hop. So a wet hop is a thing. A dry hop is a technique. What? You just mad. You mad.
Nah, not anymore now that I'm pouring this beer.
God, yeah. I didn't even get the
normal. Ooh, look at the head on that one.
But we're not starting with it.
Ooh. When they say you get an umami character, it's because you go, ooh, mommy, look at that.
All right. So, Trav, I have not had either of these last two. I've had a version of our last one, but I've not had this version.
I don't know that I've had either of these.
I know I haven't had the first one because
either.
I've not had the Baltic Porter that we're going to do.
Yes.
And I bought that because I'm curious how it compares to my Baltic Porter because it's unsmoked.
Ah, there you go. Well, then it's definitely going to taste different. So this is the Baltic Porter. This is the local lager series that they do. It is a lager brewed with Carolina-grown barley and Epiphany craft malt and Riverbend Malt House. It is 8.2% ABV.
Yep.
Yep. Uh-huh. Pretty much all she wrote.
Classic lagers, local ingredients with Epiphany craft malt and Riverbend Malt House. Epiphany is down in Durham. Riverbend is out in Asheville area.
Yep. Let's see here.
Yep. I told you. I got what I could.
I mean, describe it for me.
Okay, so you've got a chocolatey nose on it. Now,
it's 30 IBUs.
That seems actually pretty low. So Baltic Porters are technically lagers. I have fortunately brewed one. I made the mistake of thinking, oh, it's a porter, so it's an ale. It won't take long. Got doing some research, talked to Dan. He said, no. Baltic Porters are lagers. I said, great. So this beer I thought I would have at the end of January, I won't be drinking until March. He goes, that's correct. I said, crap. This is a 10% sweet, smoky chocolate stout, chocolate porter that I will not be able to drink until when it's getting warm.
Unless you have it today, in which it was a little chilly, windy.
We could go get some. Nope. It's 9.5%.
So a little bit more detail on this. They're using mostly an abundance of dark malts, it says. Noting back, historically brewed to withstand shipment across the North Sea, Baltic Porters have a long tradition of being big, chewy beers. This robust yet devastatingly clean porter was lagered for 8 weeks, grain to glass.
Honestly, it's devilishly handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It does smell nice and chocolatey.
I feel the
very roasty.
I feel the Baltic Porter in particular, you get a lot. This one's very chewy. Did you say chewy?
Yeah, it says big and chewy.
Yeah, beer. This one's chewy.
So it is jet black.
I mean, this and I wish I'd gotten a regular version of the 10W40 because I'm pretty sure they're very similar.
So this, like if you look around the rim, like the very top of it, it's got that ruby red. Ruby red hue around like this, the very top edge of the glass where the light hits it.
Uh-huh. I see what you're talking about, yeah.
It smells delicious. This is what I love in beers.
This is a chocolate heavy beer. And admittedly, my Baltic Porter is chocolate as heck.
Nice, roasty. There is a smokiness in there from the malt. Yeah. It's like a smoky, roasty. It is chewy. It's thick.
I would say more roasty than smoky. If you want smoky, I got you, fam. Mm-hmm. Go out to the shed.
Yours is liquid smoke. Mine, this is like a little bit of like almost when you get that roastiness, like when it's just starting to char a little bit.
I was honestly going to say like a really dark coffee is mm-hmm. what I'm getting more of that. Because I just switched our coffee pot today to a really dark roast. And it's like a really, really heavy dark roast.
Mm-hmm. There is, when you go into that darkness, like we've talked about with coffees and with malt, you get a little bit of those like blueberry.
I was gonna say blueberry.
There's blueberry mm-hmm. in here a little bit. There is not really any green bell pepper, no vegetal note really. Mm-hmm. It doesn't lean vegetal. There is a slightly like herbaceous, like savory quality to it almost because of the roastiness.
Herbaceous, bro.
Yep. Ugh. This is just all around good stuff. I'm loving this.
Trav's in heaven now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in Baltic Porter lager heaven.
Mm. I mean, it's fun. I was sad that we don't have a lot of their lagers since they want to be known for their lagers. but I'm glad we had this one.
Me too.
This is just delightful.
Although I'm more excited about the next one.
Trav, do you want to bring us home on this one?
No, you can bring us home. I read that one.
All right. I don't care. All right. So we're going to bring us home. So they have a series of stouts. Trav and I are both aware of the series of stouts. They're both excellent stouts in general. This is their 10W40. For those of you that don't know, 10W40 is oil.
Say what?
I know. So it is a stout. It pours black as used motor oil.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their 10W40 Mexican hot chocolate. I have never had the Mexican hot chocolate version.
I haven't either. I was just looking. I've had the 10W40, the regular. I've had the horchata, which I remember being delicious, and the German chocolate cupcake.
Ah.
There is what I'm looking at. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Take that back. 15. So far, 15 variants.
Gosh. So I was looking up.
There's a salted maple.
Oh, man.
Palo Santo.
Oh, yes. That's the one I wanted to get. I can get hold of it.
Blueberry crumble. Jelly donut.
Mm.
King cake.
Oh. Because I will say, who's King cake version? Oscar Blues has a King cake they come out with every year. It's okay.
Burial does one for Mardi Gras, but it's not King cake. It's like an IPA. This year it was called War Paint. Which I want to get my hands on that. But in it, I digress.
Yeah.
Andrew digresses.
I digress to nothing. So if you find the regular version, the can is just pitch black.
Yep.
And I listened to an interview actually today with one of the owners, and he was saying that the can, the original 10W40 can, that was the basis they took for all their new can design.
Because it's very pared down and clean.
Uh-huh. Their old can design was very... like 1920s circus feel.
Yeah, but they were very busy.
It was very busy. So all their cans now are very minimal. They're brightly colored, but it's really using negative space to do the wording.
And it's like there's two or three colors in each can.
Yeah.
Like that's like the scheme.
The low pitch is a great example.
Yeah.
It's green, white, like, blue, and yellow.
In that order, striped, like green's the majority of the can. The 10W40, though, I will say this Mexican chocolate one, it goes in a gradient from bottom to top. It starts yellow into orange into like a red, and then the red kind of fades out into like a pink,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. And it is the same thing. Like, you know, I've had the German chocolate cupcake 10W40. That can is brown. than a stripe of white and then a stripe of red, like German chocolate cake would be.
Yeah.
And goes back. But also for this Mexican hot chocolate one, it's 20 IBUs.
Yeah, and it's 8% alcohol. So it's an imperial stout with chocolate, vanilla, cinnamon, pasilla, and Carolina Reaper peppers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not... It depends on how many Carolina Reapers they put in this thing.
I'm looking at a friend of mine who has checked one in, and their comment said, just need one.
Good thing we only have one.
You can smell the chilies.
I don't actually do it.
I think it's like mixed in there with the cinnamon.
There it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just a touch.
So the vanilla is giving enough sweetness in that nose that like it's kind of not as perceptible.
Yeah. I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about beer tasting, like beer judging. And they said, give yourself 3 sips before you judge a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm going to need 3 sips to know I like this.
But I will say it was a lovely thick chocolate head when we poured it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and if you swirl it.
A little bit of that back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that. Oh, he's so cute.
Fluff right back up. Mm-hmm.
So remember how we said that corn lager was like a builder?
Yeah, this is right
in my
I've already got it in the back of my throat. So I do love, and anybody who's listened to this long enough knows my affinity
God
for...
God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, but knows my affinity for Mexican stouts.
Mexican hot chocolate in general, but like the stout, like if I can get drunk peppers, on it too. Like,
but like the pepper... And chocolate, and this is a little different because it's got vanilla, and I don't think vanilla is typically in there. It's normally like, I don't think the one from Commonwealth had vanilla in it. I think it was just like cinnamon, chocolate.
A lot of folks do use vanilla though to offset some of the to give a little bit more sweetness to it and round out the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Because vanilla,
but the pepper in this one's a little more aggressive.
It's extremely aggressive. I mean, Italy, they use Carolina Reaper, and this one was actually our newest beer. Ironically, it was canned on the 5th of March.
I wouldn't say overly aggressive. You do feel it, like that burn in your throat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a chili. Because Carolina Reaper, like I've had a handful of beers. I think I had one from Bond Brothers one time that had Carolina Reapers in it. And if you were sitting outside the brewery in the garden space, there was Carolina Reaper chili plants, like just lining the patio with signs on it that said, do not let your children eat this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's pretty brave to think that parents who are drinking alcohol are going to pay attention. And you'll hear the screams of a child when they bite into the Carolina Reaper.
It really is like a 2 second delay. You can get that first bite.
But that one was more, I think it was a lager
or
something like that. It wasn't a dark beer, it was a light beer, and it was too much.
The chocolate's playing with this. It is a little peppery. I wish the chocolate came through a little bit more. And I think the vanilla could help. A lot. I think they could have done without the cinnamon, truthfully, because that adds another spice note to it.
Yeah, so like when you do the pepper, it's like that capsaicin-y burn, and you're right, like cinnamon has like a perceived spice, like heat to it.
Yeah,
and I think that's just like going to build on each other. It's not my favorite. Pasilla peppers are good.
I've never had them solo.
I think I've had them in food, and I don't think they're overly hot, but the Carolina Reaper is a hot
pepper. It's a hot pepper.
I like it. I like the Baltic Porter more.
I think I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I would like to get my hands on some of these other variants.
I mean, yeah, but that's beside the point. I think they actually had, 3 different 10W40s at Total Wine.
I'm sure they did.
So.
Ooh, yeah. When you burp a little bit, you get the burn back.
It's going to be fun going back to some of these non...
I'm going to need to drink the Baltic Porter first to cool my throat down.
Oh, all right. Well, that brings us to...
The end of the episode?
Beer of the tasting.
Okay. Let's see.
And if there is a beer that they make that you wish we had had or that you prefer. Because we didn't do their Bed of Nails, which is one of their flagships. We didn't do their lager, which I don't think I've ever had.
Don't think I've ever had the lager. Bed of Nails, I do like.
That's a good one.
That is one that I wish we had had.
And that's just a basic brown ale.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's just a basic standard brown ale. And I do, as we mentioned, some of the information from this came from one of their brewers. And like she said, it's fun when a brewery does just a really basic style really well. So that's what their lager is for, and that's what their brown ale is for. Mm-hmm. And those two are, I've never had the lager, but their brown ale is just that. It's a very good brown ale.
Yeah, it is. I think for me tonight, I think my favorite was the Baltic Porter. Uh-huh. I think I was most underwhelmed by the Go-Getter. It was underwhelming. Mm. I know that's a hard style to nail, like the low-cal thing has become fun. But I feel like there's other breweries that do it better. Okay. The High Wire Hearts AVL series, I wish there was more lime on that in the chili. Like, it was a little bland for what it is.
So that was my underwhelming, is the High Wire Loves AVL, because it's a corn lager. So I'm not expecting a lot coming off the beer. Mm-hmm. But with chilies and lime, I'm expecting a lot more out of the beer than I got.
Yeah, it just was missing those notes. It was mm-hmm. telling you that it was going to play a couple of notes, and it kind of fell flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, besides the Baltic Porter, I think my favorite was the High Pitch.
Baltic Porter definitely, I think, is my favorite as well. I will drink the rest of this 10W40. It is just so peppery, though. Like,
I mean, I'm getting used to it the more I drink it. I finished my taster, but it's not something, it's like my friend said on tap, you just need one. There's no, I mean, you drink one and then hand the others out to some friends.
Yeah. It'll wreck your palate. It's a palate wrecker. But yeah, so other thoughts on High Wire in general. So the reason we wanted to do High Wire and Burial near each other was because they're both following a very similar pattern, and they're doing the brew pub pattern, not brew pub per se, but like the brewery pattern. They're expanding out to different tap rooms in different parts of the state, other states, exploring new things.
Yeah, High Wire has admittedly done more than Burial. Burial hasn't left the state yet.
High Wire, their big top is so much bigger than any production that Burial has.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense why they don't, why they're not there yet. But High Wire is doing such massive production. But I do think that the Baltic Porter was my beer of the night. I love High Wire. I make sure every time I go there, a lot of times we stay in Biltmore Village or go to Biltmore or something, I go to the Big Top.
And see, I don't think I've been to the Big Top. I've been to the one on the South Slope.
Yep.
And
it's a garage, man. It's a straight garage.
It is. And the one time, I've only been there once. So when we do Asheville, it's so hard to fit all these breweries in.
You can't.
And I've only made it to High Wire once. Mm-hmm. And when we went, I think it was like we randomly were up there and ran into MMR and David at Wicked Weed. And so then we ended up at High Wire, and it was like 100 effing degrees.
Oh, there's no AC in that building.
No, we were dying. And there was just like, we were chugging water from the corner, like as faster than we were drinking the beer in there. And there was like these two kids at the bar playing, I mean like literal kids, like off to the side playing Super Nintendo.
Heck yeah. Oh yeah, they do have the video games. I forgot about
that. Yeah, they have the little video games in the corner. But I just remember being in there, and I was like, there is no air circulation, and it is about 1,000 degrees in here.
Gosh, yeah. High Wire beer, though, in general, good stuff. Get it if you can. If you are in one of their distribution spots, or if you happen to live in one of the cities that they are in or going to be in soon.
Yeah, check them out.
Heck yeah.
They are reliably good beer.
Yeah, excellent beer. So,
Well, with that being said, Andrew, let's take her on out.
Heck yeah. All right, so you can follow us on... how do we end this thing? You can follow us on Twitter at @brew_news. You can follow us on Instagram at @brewnewspod, where you can watch me brew every time I brew and remember to start an Insta story.
Yes. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is just nothing more than repeats of our Insta. So is the Twitter. We have no original thoughts on Twitter. You can shoot us an email if you prefer, if you have any things you want to say to us, any breweries, suggestions for styles or anything like that you would like to see done in an episode. You can find us on Untappd. Andrew is at @TubaSteve. I'm at @MatherNuts. And
our email address is brewnewspod@gmail.com.
Yep, forgot to say it. There we go.
And like Charlie likes to remind me, we technically have a website.
We do.
Yep.
Don't go there.
Don't go there. It's a dark place. No one goes there.
It's gone dark.
I get regular email updates like, hey, we would like to help you with your SEO. I was like, no. I don't think you understand.
No.
You're not supposed to find me. But yeah. as we say, drink local. Highwire is going to be local for a lot of you. So
yeah. If you're in the Southeast.
If you're in the Southeast, get you some Highwire.
Until then, next time, cheers.
Cheers.